morning to everyone. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. A special welcome to the disabled people of South Africa that are here with us, who actually honored the invitation and responded appropriately. I do not have apologies before me today, and I can see people that you're expecting to be here are present, and I just want to indicate, besides members of parliament, we have disabled persons, People South Africa, DPSA, which is a, normally when we say DPSA in this meeting, we refer to Department of Public Service and Administration, but today then we've got DPSA, which is different, which is part of us. We do have also representatives from various departments, because just to outline, this is going to be a 2 days meeting. It's starting today, it will also continue the next Wednesday. So how are we going to handle this meeting? A meeting which is a follow-up. It's not for the first time we met with the DPSA. We are meeting for the second time, because as this committee, we made a commitment that we are going to capture issues that require attention, particularly from the public service and administration. And therefore, part of our meeting today is to pursue issues that were highlighted, to anchor them and ensure that there is progress on that. We're going to have a presentation that details part of the problems that are there. And people who represent the Department of Public Service and Administration are here. People who also represent the Department for Women, Children, Persons with Disability are also here. And we also have people from from the Department of Education, basic education. But I haven't seen them. If one of them is here, should just indicate. I know that the other two departments are here. Otherwise, if we can't see anybody, I would request your assistant to call the department to send the person who also takes notes on their behalf, because they are going to respond to the issues that have been tabled. Besides that, we did have some assignments that we commissioned department in our first meeting. I'll give an example. There are many more, but the very critical one, which is directed particularly to this committee, there was a realization of the 2% that we don't reach it. And part of why we have been meeting over and over is to see and realize how best can we deal with those matters. The assignment then was that we've got disabled people entering the public service, but also exiting, which is part of what was raised as a reason not to reach the 2%. The assignment then was that, can we just get into details, do a thorough research, analyze and see what creates the exit. Possibly part of why you move out might actually indicate to us how best we handle the process moving forward. And therefore, we will be in the coming week expecting a response in terms of that necessary research, analysis of facts, and giving, you know, thorough information that majority of those who left, if we know the statistics and the reasons, then it gives us a better picture. We really welcome DPSA and are looking forward to today's members and yourselves and all the departments for a very, very fruitful discussion in this committee. But things that won't end up today in terms of the committee, but you are going to carry over all those matters. I believe we can be able to transform that sector, create a conducive environment, we all believe so. And we are going to work together to ensure that things that are obstacles are removed, particularly within the public safety administration, so that all of us find comfort to serve our government. And therefore, I will actually start by allowing the members to just quickly introduce themselves to you, and thereafter, I will allow the members, can we start from yourself? As a bank, the honorable member. Oh, let's start with you at the very, very bank. Thanks, honorable Christina. I know you didn't have, you don't have a mic there. Yeah, but she said she's Christina Mohale, and she explained. Honorable member.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. My name is Eric Nyagama, member of the Public Service and Administration, PSA, and Labour too.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tumisani Kendi, a member of the Public Service and Administration. I'm also serving as a private member of the legislative proposal and special petition. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian Williams. I serve on the Public Service Portfolio Committee. I also serve on Labour and on the SA European Union Parliamentary Committee.
Good morning. My name is Elisa Ocheo, a member of Public Service and Administration and also member of COPT.
Good morning. My name is Kobus Marem, a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Dietlef Stutoy. I'm also a member of this committee. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Melinda, we couldn't hear you. I don't know whether it was a mic or something. Could, do you want to do it again? Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm Johanna Mule Maluleg, a member of the committee, also serving in the Tourism Committee. Thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you. I'm Joyce Mulwe Moropa, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. I'm accompanied by the parliamentary staff that works with us. There's Julius here, who's the content advisor, and then Zola Vice, who's the secretary of the committee. I cannot see there's also an assistant to Zola, who's actually out to call me, because education is not here. And can I then request the departments that are here to quickly introduce themselves, and then we can go to TPSA.
Good morning. My name is Vika Dantukuba from the Ministry of Women, Children and Business Disabilities.
Good morning. Shamila Abrams, PLO, TPSA.
Good morning. I'm Barbara Watson from the Department of Public Service and Administration.
Good morning. Joanne Vantage, advisor to the Minister for Public Service and Administration.
Good morning. My name is Suad from the Ministry of Public Service and Administration.
Thanks. Having heard from the department, and I'm hoping that our assistant is getting through with the department, I will then proceed to the DCSA. Okay.
Morning, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, distinguished members as well who are present here. We really appreciate on behalf of Disabled People South Africa to come and shed light on these issues which face us as disabled people in the country. I need to start by introducing the delegation, or allowing each and every member of the delegation to introduce itself or herself. My name is Robert Masambo. I'm the National Chairperson of the Disabled People South Africa.
Chairperson, honorable members, indeed it's good to be back at this portfolio committee. My name is Andrew Modela, and I'm the Secretary General for the Disabled People of South Africa.
Good morning, Chairperson, members of the committee. My name is Sezeki Legadi, and I'm also part of GPSA. Thank you. Very well, GPSA.
Good morning, Chairperson, and members of the committee. My name is Jabulani Plose. I'm the Chief Executive of Disabled People South Africa.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members of the committee. My name is Kong San, and I'm the branch leader from Bongolito. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and the committee. My name is Nomonde Mbebe. I'm the Chairperson of the WDP in the province. Western Cape Province.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Sheila Halford. I'm a member of DPSA and also the Deputy Chair for Women. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Elliot. I'm a driver of DPSA.
Okay, Elliot is also... Yeah, just the chopper is the mic. Okay. Is there anyone all proceed? At least you have a mic, unlike Honorable Mohale.
Hi, good morning everybody. My name is Christabella Zinzile. I'm the Provincial Programs Coordinator for Western Cape, GPSA.
Good morning everybody. I'm Lumiso Masego, a sign language interpreter for GPSA. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Did you cover everyone? Okay. I saw the hand is up there, but it's not the hand, it's spectacles. Okay. All right. No, but a special welcome. And you know, once you're doing the introduction, I realize that you've taken out, you have actually sent a high power delegation to Parliament. And we really appreciate that, you know, people who are actually the drivers who are sitting on this. And it actually means a lot for us because we really want to deliver the program. But to just emphasize before you even get the presentation that we are tasked with the mammoth task, you know, of ensuring that we transform the society, you know, in that sector. And therefore, we will depend largely on GPSA and Disabled People South Africa to ensure that we succeed in that agenda of ensuring that we transform our society and we mainstream the disabled people within the mainstream of the society. It is not an easy task, but it's possible to happen. If we can put, work with smarter efforts, focus, definitely you can do a lot, you know, to ensure that our brothers, our sisters who are out of the mainstream are brought to the environment is conducive out there for them to learn, for them to be at school in order to be, mainstreamed within the entire environment. And we thank you very much. I'm handing over to you to go through your presentation so that you can interact with all members. And we will be noting, like I stated, we will be noting all other issues that are tasked moving forward because it's not a once-off. We will be interacting consistently.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are really encouraged by the commitment of this August body. We appreciate once more to be invited to come and engage in some discussions on how best can we really transform South Africa to be a better country for all of us. compromises quite a lot in terms of national disability legislation to give greater protection to persons with disabilities. Yes, indeed, we are happy that the ministry is working on that. And we had hoped that during the State of the Nation address, the President would reaffirm that, to say that as a country, indeed, we are finalizing the disability legislation. government can actually use that as a leverage, you know, because it subsidizes. You know, subsidizes. So if you give money, you can also give conditions. And I think something has to be done, in particular for rural areas, to ensure that there's, you know, accessible transport. You know. Something has to be done, because yes, in the cities, you know, I used to go to meetings. The cities, people always worry about, you know, the airport. You know, will I be able to get into the airport? Will I be able to get into the flight? What is the general flight? Will I be able to sleep in a hotel? That the hotel has an accessible path, but it's a different dimension when you go to the deep rural areas. People speak about just a basic exit from, you know, this point to this point, just to go to the hotel, which is a basic. So I think something creative has to be looked at, so that at least we're able to address those issues. Brave, I did speak, and I think it's quite important that including the learning materials should be made available in Braille, which remains a major challenge at current. The importance in terms of subsidization of assistive devices, you know, it's really important that we're at least able to get assistance in that. That we need to ensure that there is active promotion of universal design across all levels, ensure that public media is more accessible. Your media, your television, I see it's really gradually getting there, but slowly, you see if there are news, there's a sign language interpreter on the site, but also if there are other programs, there are subtitles, especially for deaf people. But I think more and more of that, you know, would be much better, would be fine. But I think also the need to compel internet content providers to align with SABS standards, website accessibility. It's quite important that there's also sensitization of ICASA as a licensing institution, but also as an institution that monitors. As I conclude Chapter 3, I believe there should be total integration, and all the disabled people should occupy the rightful place in society. Those who are the ways of our late co-founder member, Comrade Friday Mavuso, who was also at a particular point the National Chairperson of Disabled People South Africa. I really want to, on behalf of Disabled People South Africa, take this opportunity once more and thank you, and want to believe that this type of engagement would extend into the future, and appreciate the fact that you also have departments that are coming as well to be part of the discussion. So with those few words, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to take this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the elaborate presentation that you made. Welcome to Honorable Member Mofolo. We were told that you're on your way. We appreciate that you made it for the meeting. Now, just some few things. I heard the chairperson appreciated that they've got a member within the committee who's also part of the DPSA. I just need to, I'm sure the committee is going to bear me witness here. We were not actually influenced by her, but because she's part of the committee's work, and therefore she's part because she's part of the committee, but it's not like she actually said, hey, what about it?
I think it's important for me to also put, while I'm talking about the work of the committee, it's important just to put also some other aspects of this matter, because what we're going to expect, like we said, today is the presentation by the DPSA. Next week we'll be having the Prime Minister that will be talking to this matter, and therefore it's important for us to capture key things that we want to drive, you know, in terms of changing them in the future. I know that this government does have capability of doing a number of other things. Sometimes they do sleep, you know, the government, but we would actually assist to give focus and make sure that things do happen. And like we indicated, this is part of the priorities and key areas that we need to look into. And part of what gives us this drive is because the 2% consistently gets failed, you know, to be reached. And therefore, it therefore shows that we need to focus on this area more and more. I wanted to indicate the issue of our oversight task. You know, members will remember that we had an oversight and visited one of the schools in Limpopo called Fusile, where they've got the blind, and so then we, you know, part of it we really discovered a number of other things, but we have to follow up on the issue of a brave book taking a demand, for instance, to be produced. The issue of a concern for us, you know, the year is only 12 months. If you were to be a learner, you know, within 12 months, the book is not produced as that it will be produced next year. What does it mean? For us, it was like a crisis. You know, it's something that we need to elevate. It is a national crisis if we can create an injustice, conducive environment for the blind to learn, you know, and it worried us. You know, we are alarmed about that, and therefore part of this meeting is part of looking into those issues. How best, you know, especially since we've already captured them, that before they're in front of the table, you know, it's part of what we're dealing with. We have to deal with those matters. So we need to find out how best can we deal with this. Like I said, we do have potential and capacity to deal with a number of other things. We can deal with it. You know, focus on dealing with it and then get a much more better approach. You know, without necessarily preempting members, I'm just saying that we don't look at them differently, but it's part of the package of what we're dealing with, you know, in terms of our work, including all other issues that come from the NDP, etc., etc. I am going to allow the members to interact with the presentation. I have seen some few hands, Honorable Mary, Honorable Williams, Honorable Doyle, in that order, and Honorable Nyagembe. Starting with yourself, Honorable Mary.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must just first declare my interest with the disability. I've got a 26-year-old daughter. She's physically disabled, she's hearing disabled, she's sight disabled, she's CP disabled. So she's and epilepsy and Sturge Weber, so she's got the whole package. But I'm not a member of DPSA, and I'm neither are she a member. My first question make sure that that government and parliament, in that sense, do take on board all those things in the convention. They're not only what they want, but all the things, because otherwise it's either take the convention as it is or not take it at all. Because currently it's discriminatory against people with disabilities. So that's my first question. Then the other one is employment. We talk about the 2% every year. Since I've been in Parliament, and I've been involved with issues on disability, since I came in Parliament, we talked about that every year it is promises, and we don't even get close to 2%. And why I mention this, if you look at the group or the numbers that you will give us, in terms of how many people are there with disabilities. It is not fair to a group like that to not even get to 2%. So somewhere your organization will have to do much more lobbying, even placards or whatever you want to do, to make sure that, I mean, 2% is just not enough. In my opinion, it must you know, if government and parliament doesn't set the example, how can you expect from private sector to do that? So your opinion on that. And then lastly, what is your relationship with the National Council of People with Physical Disabilities in South Africa? I see that both of you affiliates to the National South African National Disability Alliance. So it seems like there's a few overlaps. And I'm not sure, you know, I get the impression, if you look at there's DPSA in provinces, there's APD in provinces. So it seems like these are two parallel organizations, and somewhere along the line, I know that the Disability Alliance is probably the overarching umbrella, but if we can just have a better understanding of that, in terms of how do you stand vis-a-vis that organization, because both of you seem to affiliate to the same international organizations as well. And we know that they've got CPs like Quasar and the others, Quatpara and all the others. So just want to get a better understanding of that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Mare. The next was Honorable William. Okay. Honorable Return, proceed.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just want to know, is there anybody from the press here? Thank you. At least there's somebody here that thinks this is a serious business. And if you would report and you could ask your editor to put it somewhere prominent, we'll be glad. Because it saved me a lot of money to put out a press statement, and I hope that my media office will think it's important enough. Thanks. I'm also glad that your minister are sending me here people from this department, different departments. And I know the DGs can't be here always, or the deputy directors, but please you must take note of what's happening here, because we've got to start doing something. My colleague has pointed out that it's not, the legislation is not strong enough. We're not doing something. Nothing is moving on. Now I want to just lift out a few points here. First of all is, I'm not aware of all the kinds of disabilities there are. I would have liked to see a list, to see how you categorize it. I'm aware of people if I would say in two main categories, there is immobility. In other words, people can't move. They're either lying on their back, or they can't walk, or whatever. But they can communicate, because they can see and they can hear. Okay, that's the way I look at it. And then there's the other listen to the heads of the officials, or if the officials can just get this in the head of the ministers, we'll solve the problem, a lot of it. Because why would a child or anybody wants to be dependent on the taxpayer if he can contribute to it? Okay? I'm contributing today to, as a taxpayer. And because I was fortunate in the position I went through mainstream and here I am today, taking decisions about other people that's in the same situation. And another very good example. My own son developed at 6 months old, he had a virus or something, and his inner ear was affected. And fortunately, he was diagnosed very early, because people with hearing abilities know that if a child does not learn it very quickly, before 5 years old, he can't speak. Is that so? He's got a lot of difficulties and then can't go through mainstream. But through this process, it was picked up early, and there's no legislation that forces this then into, forces this. Okay? It's just lucky. And he's in mainstream today, 7 years old, and he's had 2 cochlear implants. Now, cochlear implants are another thing about people that's got a hearing disability. Why can't the state pay for it if somebody can benefit from it, making this person a taxpayer and not a tax liability for the rest of his life? So this is what we're looking at. We've got to get those people. I'm not talking about people that is unfortunate that we cannot make them, take them into mainstream and make them total taxpayers. I'm talking about those that can't be. That can. So we've got to look at it from the beginning, take it through, and lessen the effect after school. So it's 2 things we've got to address. I think you agree with me. I see you're not a young head, sir. Yeah, so addressing the problem we have here today, and also addressing the problems to get people into mainstream as young people, children, to get them into mainstream when we can. Now, we are going to have to address legislation, the officials over there. We've got to start moving on this, and we've got to put pressure on everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Murray. Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I just want to thank the Secretary General of DPSA for giving us a very enlightening presentation. I mean, we were aware that government wasn't reaching its 2% target, but some of the reasons I didn't understand what they were. I think one of the things I'd like to know is, are there examples where organizations, departments, municipalities, or whatever, have actually implemented your 5-step program and it succeeded, so that you've got examples of that, so that we can share that with other departments? I also think that the privacy issue that you spoke to, how would you suggest that we address this? It's a human rights issue, and I can understand the vulnerability that and fear that must take place if you're disabled to start with, and then a stranger comes into your life and basically takes over and ruins. I mean, all sorts of terrible things can happen to you. So it's a human rights issue, and you have highlighted what a serious problem that is, but like you said, nothing about us without us. So how would you suggest that we look into that? I also need you to be frank with the committee about why you believe the good intentions of individuals, you said there's lots of good intentions, don't actually translate into actual change on the ground. You must tell us. You mustn't be afraid to offend anyone. We're here to help you. You must tell us. The problem is Aaron Williams. You must say Aaron Williams is the problem. And you know if that is the problem. And also I'd like to know, are there any provinces or municipalities that actually have reached 2%? For instance, are there best practices somewhere that is happening and we don't know about it? And if you could tell us if you've experienced that, that you could share that with us. Thank you.
Honorable Williams, thank you very much. Honorable Nyagin.
wanted the Department of Basic Education to be here because the committee engaged in an oversight in Limpopo last year. And out of what the committee has established, we then saw a necessity of that department to be part of this meeting today in order. When we raise these issues, even DPSA, I'm not referring to the Department of Public Service, I would say Department of Public Service. When I say DPSA, I'm referring to the organization that just made the presentation today. So I think that's one thing that I think as a committee we then said, it is important for us. And I think in the last meeting that we had, the Department of Women and Children and People with Disability was part of that meeting, whereas the meeting was called by the Portfolio Committee on Public Service Administration. But we didn't want a situation where we sit in a corner as a committee, and then the departments that we have to interact with, we didn't want to have meetings with those departments after we have already met DPSA. We wanted when we engage DPSA, the departments concerned are part of us. They can hear, they can reshape their problems in dealing with challenges of people with disability. And I thought let me raise those areas. I think one experience serving also in the Portfolio Committee on Labour, there are sheltered employment centres that fall under the Department of Labour. I think that's one attempt, even if it doesn't address the problem at large, but it is an attempt where government says, rather than only defending to these people with disabilities to be employed in departments, what is it that the government can do supporting those factories? I mean, even the Minister of Finance made mention of the sheltered employment factories when in the budget speech on the 14th, which then gives hope to say that there are these. So the point I'm raising, I think, also DPSA, I think then there's a need of a relationship with sheltered employment factories through the Department of Labor. I think in that way we can, because those factories, I mean, when we oversight the Portfolio Committee on Labor in January, in Japan, when we factories where they are also manufacturing tasks, full tasks, and there are orders from the Eastern Cape, Department of Education of the Eastern Cape, which is ordering from there. So I think these are some of the things that we need to look at. And I'm raising this point to say that it's an area that we can look at as the Portfolio Committee of Public Service Administration. How do we work with the Department of Labor with a view of dealing with challenges of people with disability? That's what the other point that I want to raise is, I like that in the presentation you made reference to 1998. And it says the Employment Equity Act. I think that's not the only one. And I agree with speakers that said you need also sometimes to have visible campaigns which will raise the flag on a number of issues. Because the reality is that act is not followed. If you look at the Employment Equity Commission report each and every year, you find the situation on affirmative action and in accommodating people with disability. In the main, the private sector is doing zero. Whereas that act is not only the act of the public sector, also the private sector, they are doing nothing. So I'm saying this engagement shared, I think at a particular time, we need to isolate certain legislation and say, these are the legislations DPSA would like the Portfolio Committee on Public Service Administration to champion and link with other portfolio committees that has to do with those. And the existence of your organization, and I think think you raised an issue of funding also. It is not clear as to funding in which way. I think you can elaborate on that. You raised that one. But I'm happy, sir, that the chairperson is part of this meeting this time around, because last he was not part of the meeting, and the chair secretary was the one who was making a presentation. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Nyakembe. Thanks, Honorable Members. Maybe let's allow DPSA to respond to the matter before we proceed. Is that a hand, Honorable Mukul, or well, you've got dual participation, isn't it, at this point? And actually, if it's chance for members to speak, you actually can actually speak. I think no, because you're at work, honorable member, will allow PSA to proceed with responding. Proceed, Chairperson.
Thank you. Chairperson, thank you, honorable members of the committee. Honorable Mare, thanks for the question. They are really appreciated. Just to indicate that in if you are speak steps, in terms of census A, we have 51 million in the country. That's the whole population. And their take is that 5%, 5.6% is disabled. And that represents 2.8 million disabled persons. However, in our view, we still are saying there's been an undercount, and we believe that proper profiling could still take place, because we believe that there's an undercount. Because we believe that at least 10% of the South African population is disabled. And that makes it 5.6 million disabled people in the country. In terms of the convention, UN convention, not seen in our bills, not made compulsory by government and parliament, SARS and so on. We believe that this house, you know, it's an important house that can assist in making those pronouncements and ensuring that those determinations are made through the authority legitimacy which it has, you know, over the executive. So we would really be dependent on the house, because we believe and are saying, you know, there are lots of spoke of SARS, one can also speak about the medical aids, which are challenged, you know, there's a number, and, you know, houses such as this one are actually important in actually assisting us. And indeed, DPSA, Disabled People South Africa, would continue to lobby for everything, you know, either in the education, either in the quality housing, quality healthcare, etc., etc. We would lobby that. We would continue to lobby because we are actually committed to that. You asked Honorable Mare in terms of the relationship with the South African Disability Alliance. SADA is our make, it's our brainchild. We made SADA as DPSA because the situation, circumstances at that time, which faced us, was that when you go to this department, Minister X, for particular reason, would say to you, no, I don't want to speak to you. You must get organized, you must come in one voice, and so on. And then we championed the establishment of SADA. We made SADA. But I also need to indicate, and that's our point of
Development Deputy Act, it did not come only because it had to come. We lobbied and lobbied. You know, you have members of parliament of disabled people in parliament. They just did not come, you know, in the plaza. We went, we engaged, you know. You have people in the different commissions, Chapter 9 institutions. They did not only come because, you know, they had to come. You know, we made it our business that we lobby. You know, hence I was saying, we are continuing to lobby, even moving forward. So, we are a rights-based organization, Honorable Mare. Honorable Titoy, yes, well, issues about categorization of disabilities, I think perhaps if you can get into our website, you know, we have a number of documentation. You know, there are documents about etiquette, about disability, there's what we call the pocket guide. It can give you more information about the various types of disability, and perhaps as well some of the historic activities that we actually involved with in terms of where we, up to where we are, you know, as an organization. You know. But Honorable Mother, it must not you see, it must not for the implementation of Employment Equity Act you say, no, I don't want a deaf person. You know, I don't know what to do with a deaf person. I don't want them, don't bring me a blind person, you know. Rather give me someone on crutches. It should not be like that, you know. But the purpose for, at least in my understanding, for one to understand the categorization and so on, it's all about to say, okay, if I have to employ a blind person, what reasonable accommodation measures must I put in place for that person to be able to fit within the culture of employment, be able to work and be productive? So I think it's for solely that purpose. Yes, I agree, we must get disabled children into the mainstream. If you look, Honorable Chair, through you, we had made, in terms of the Back to School campaign proposals, to both the ministries, basic education and higher education, to say that we want to partner with them so that we're able to go all out into those areas, you know. Also with the Ministry for Women, Children and People with Disabilities. But I, probably there were lots of
would also elaborate on some of the issues. We've indicated in terms of the presentation that one, you must hold people accountable. You know, in terms of your performance agreements, your directors general should, you know, within their contracts, have that, you know, the issues of employment, policy implementation in terms of disability and so on should really be the point of measurement, you know, also as part of their performance, you know. So, yes, as long as that is not necessarily done, also take into account the fact that there are perceptions about disability, you know, how people view people with disabilities, disability, you know, and so on. And those would continue, you know, remain really being challenged, you know, for us. Because once you start, you know, then anyway that is able to
troubled seas. So all those things are quite immense in terms of cost. But I'm sure once we've actually agreed on a funding model, we'll be able to deliver on those. I don't know whether the SG want to, Honorable Chair, if I could take the liberty, the fact that if I and give the SG, which is to record through you, Honorable.
Okay, no. I just need to suggest a process here. SG will be coming to yourself and even Honorable Mufolo there. What I needed to just indicate is that, you know, the observation, I'm sure you might have heard, even when members are talking about issues of disability, you know, they personalize issues, you know, necessarily because they're public representatives, one. And, you know, if there's also this understanding, it's not your issue. But those are the issues that we need to transform as a society, you know, if we hear them. Largely, they are not like asking what is this thing or whatever, and then, but they've got an opinion, which therefore means we have that consciousness of starting to own these matters. And that's not sufficient. We still have to do more, you know, in terms of saying how do we deal with it. That is why then, you know, Honorable Fuller can participate either way on these matters, you know, because she will have more information from your side at the same time from our side, which therefore, in this instance, that doesn't create any conflict. That's how members have been asking and doing suggestions and pointing out how we work. You would know, for instance, we've got a committee in Parliament of the Committee for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. And we're public and administration, but you don't necessarily feel that it's an obligation of them. You know, it's a mainstream factor. We are dealing with public and administration. You know, it's a broad matter that affects that sector, and we definitely will focus on it vigilantly like them. Of course, we did try to get them to partner with us on this one, but they already had a program. And like Honorable Williams was saying, Honorable Nyakem was saying, labor must be pulled, you know, we you know, so that we look into those matters. Monitoring and evaluation, for instance, is very critical and key. Just to monitor from the annual report that you talk about, when we look at them, did we track down? Is there sufficient work? So it's a mainstream factor. That's why we actually, they put it in the president's office so that it's mainstream. Yes, definitely, we need to have vigilant, you know, and you know, deliberate and very, you know, aggressive way of how do we deal with this, you know. And it's not only one sector that can deal with it. Public representatives, you know, have to deal with it. Just a few things so that once you all want to speak on this matter, we know that we've spoken about them. We've thrown everything to our discussion table. Yes, of course, we do need to broaden the space and the resources, and we need to look into that where the discussions, departments are responding, and so on and so on. You know, in terms of programs, in terms of the plans and ways of how we're going to deal with this matter, our matter, all of us. You know, the advocacy program, we realize that it should be broadened. You know, we still need to even teach our people that disability is not taboo. You know, something that nobody plans, it's not like death. We don't plan that you want to die, but that's how it is. At some point, you're going to die. And we, even with disability, any other time, any of us will be disabled, and therefore, it's part of what is there. And therefore, that's why when we plan, we need to factor it in. Correctly so, as you said, Chairperson, you don't know. You know, we create an environment, even if you are not in it, so that once you are there, at least the environment was conducive for those who are there, and will be conducive for you even in future once you enter it, because that's how we need to work on it. And therefore, we do need to do a lot of lobbying. We've been talking as members of parliament that we are completely disabled, and it's so wrong that you can't even use sign language, but you're public representatives. And it's one issue that as this committee are driving, that we must have a permanent class where there's a disability class where we all learn. It's possible. You know, it's something that is completely possible. We discussed with Palama as this committee, and Palama has made it ready. It will be there, including gender mainstreaming, because we're lagging behind now on issues of gender. We can't mainstream it properly into our work. So we've been driving those issues, and surely if members of this committee will leave this parliament where sign language was not put up as a class, I wish that voters would punish you, you know, Honorable Du Toit.
that, you know, we've got in this one united as we stand, you know, transforming the society. We should, you know, we will be punished that we didn't really make sure that as public representatives we create an environment where we can just communicate, you know, something of that nature, which is possible. And therefore we must really work hard to ensure that those classes are put up, you know, so that we start it and others can find them there. The issue of the scope of work, I was interested to listen to it, you know, scope of work at school, in schools, you know, because once we're there at school, well, honorable, well, the GS and all other members will be talking to, you know, we discovered that besides advocating in schools, there are a number of other factors. For example, there was a complaint that parents are not participating at schools on the issues of disability. They just throw children there, leave them. There might be various factors that affect it. Possibly the location, because it's not everywhere where we've got maybe the school for the blind, the school for this. It's somewhere far, and majority, particularly in rural schools, are very poor. How then do we do the parents, teachers, associations, you know, SGBs in that instance? How do we deal with them? And how do we support them and make sure that they are also a sort of part of the school? I know in Limpopo they tried some teams, but can we assess those teams to sustainable and be there as society? Why we're doing the advocates, why we've got DPSA that can be able to advise better. And I said, that is very critical. I'm sure parents do want to participate, but you'll find that they, you know, the child is in Busilo, you live somewhere in Venda. You don't have the necessary money. It's like you've left the child, but you don't. How do we do that environment? You know, because once you all participate, we, you know, we can broaden the scope of ensuring that environment is conducive as well. There's also, well, the issue that I already talked about of monitoring and evaluation department, that some other time, once we'll be dealing with tracking, if we are doing progress, we'll call the department to say, tracking all the issues that were raised, that were done, how far are we making inroads, so that we can be able to call the specific, you know, not one department, but all other departments where we think there's no significant progress and we're able to sort of engage with them. We can go now because we need a broader program. We need to sort of collaborate in terms of dealing with this, you know, because for us it's the other, you know, everybody else who can help. If we collaborate, get advice and also know how to deal with it, it's going to be much easier and better. We might make a bit of an impact and maybe we might not clean it all, but with the collaboration you can actually go some miles. We know that DPSA, you know, once they come here, I remember they made a costing for a disabled person at work. You know what? You don't just look at a job. You cost it. It goes with what you're talking about, the husband and the wife, you know, where you find that there are some other factors that go with it. Once you do the vacancy for disability, they have to cost it properly. You know, they cover the non-transfer, they cover, you know, all other factors that go with it. They've done that. But I don't think it was communicated enough to other departments. You know, we do need to see that costing together with how other departments are aware of the kind of costing. We need to see a scope of what is it that has been costed and how can it be filled in. Because what was this, the 2%? We're interested in the 2%. And we think it can be achieved. You know, and when we talked about the entrance and exit, we're not saying that if it's mobility to higher positions, it's not a problem. But if we're losing the disabled to someone, that we need to know exactly what is the issue, you know. If we can be told, you know, okay, that this moved to this, it's better for us. We've got the scientific evidence in terms of what is happening, and therefore we can look into then how do we balance from that. I'll just leave other issues because members have really articulated very well, but it is also important that, you know, I was also having this problem of saying which body can we work with, you know, in terms of dealing with this, whom shouldn't we leave out, you know, because we don't really, we want to deal with this, understand, and we want to do it the right way, and who, you know, because we've been talking about others, you need to educate us as well along, you know, the participation, who should be brought on board, you know, because we want to do the right thing. You talk about the talking of SALA and CDA. You have to educate us and say, okay, if you handle it this way, you'll have done justice to it as well. Okay. Well, it's
surveillance and monitoring cluster, which is COPA and all other entities which we can cluster around this as the parliament in order to indeed join this. So that we're able to pull issues that Honourable Mare talked about, those things that are kind of files, for instance, you know, once these, you know, the evaluator taxes, it's heavy to work on areas of disability, to buy extraordinarily things. You know, you deal, that sector should be factored within service itself once they do the thing. It can't be just a normal taxi like that. That factor should be anchored in. Is there a rule? Is there a way where they look into those things? And a number of others that get omitted along the way. Okay, I would afford members and the guests a break to grab tea, come back, and then we can proceed and finalize.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, while we're closing down on the discussion about socialism and going back to the committee work, I would like us to then continue with this important task that we are dealing with. And of course, now we still have some time to allow the DPSA to actually go through issues. Can I then request that we actually mark the time? Because at 20 minutes past 12, we should be finished so that we allow other members, myself included, then to move to other committees where they're setting it up as well. Okay, can I then allow DPSA and all other members who, maybe let's take if there are issues that need to be raised by other members if they want to do that, to also raise so that there is a response and we close. Is there any other issue or should I just allow DPSA?
Madam Chair, there's just, and I've mentioned it to the representatives of the DPSA, there are two points that I just want to comment on or raise. You know, if you look at the world of the people with disabilities and the so-called able-bodied persons, I'm involved with the Paralympic movement, and inclusion is the buzzword in sport, you know. But if you look and see able-bodied federations, on a high performance level, it's easy. On a lower level, where they must actually go to the rural areas and identify talent and develop that, they haven't got a clue how to do that. So it's hugely discriminatory again against people with disabilities. The other point that I'm raising is, and I mean this is probably also for next week, it's fantastic that increase to the grant for people with disabilities to 1,260 rand, and without necessarily comparing that with farm workers, but we, you know, it was said that 69 rand is not enough for farm workers. Why is 60 rand then enough per day, enough for people with disabilities? Should not be. So should also be 105 rand. So just in terms of equal treatment, because they've got the same needs, the same everything. In fact, people with disabilities stay in a house where they must pay rent. So those are also things that one should look at going into the future in treating everybody equal, but not making a difference.
Thanks, Honorable
Marie.
Any responses? I know the chair has spoken, but maybe you might want to open up, and then can you then direct who will be speaking from the side, chair? Okay, maybe let's start with Honorable Nyakemba before.
Thank you, Chair. Chairman, I think it's a pity because the guy from the media has already left, who was sitting somewhere here. No, that's good. Because I want to raise a point here, Chair. You see, if this meeting, the Public Service Commission came to present to the committee about non-compliance of Director Generals, this committee room was going to be full of media with all cameras, and that will be publicized even internationally. Now is the issue of an NGO, People with Disabilities South Africa, that you don't see cameras in order for what they are presenting, what is it, the thinking that they have in terms of dealing with people with disability, in order to be known by the world, you won't see it. You can count people from the media who are here. So I think PMG is here. I think it's important that how then the electronic media attend matters of parliament, it must not be discriminatory. Because I regard this discrimination is as a result that it's people with disability who are coming to present in parliament. So it has got nothing to do with what is an issue to government. So I thought, let me raise that
instead of looking at funding holistically. I'll make practical examples. With Department of Sports. When it comes to sports, you'll find the small organizations, the CBOs, getting assistance from departments in terms of sports. But when it comes to people with disabilities, the social services, that's what I'm bringing. To say, when we look in terms of funding, can each and every department say, in a little corner, in terms of, I don't know, is it a social responsibility or whatever, there's funding, so that we should not be seeing one. Let's look at people with disabilities in business. You know, Department of Trade and Industry, Economic Department, what is happening there? You don't see. But they've got Trade and Industry, they've got women, South African women, entrepreneur network, when it goes to construction, the South African women in construction, you know, all of those, there's women. But there is no equity box that is specifically saying, in terms of disability, we are having this box for people with disability as entrepreneurs so that they can also start to grow. And but we do have, you know, well, when you talk about business, we'll be going to say, go to that shelter local workshop that is a factory that is sponsored by Department of Labor. But the Department of Labor is sponsoring it to make job creation. But me, if I don't want to go there and I want to raise it, I want to have a company, where is it? Those are the issues that I'm saying, let us look at departments holistically and also looking at the issue of funding. So that one department should not be burdened with, and then each and every department should say, in my department, this is what is happening. And then, and also in reality, reality is, if you come as a black disabled person and you come and look for funding, they are not giving it. You don't really get it. They say it's a government issue. But when a white disabled person comes in, they do get funding. So it simply means, I'm talking about racism. It simply means we are also skewed in how we view, because it affects us all over. In South Africa as being black. So if you find those kind of things, and we need to talk about today, race is also playing a role. Because when you look at all the NGOs that are run, you know, their leadership on top of the white people, they don't struggle with funding. They don't. And that is reality. So all I'm saying is funders or companies that are funding, we also need to challenge them to say, how comes your funding? Because we are only challenging the government, we are only challenging parastatals, but we are not challenging these companies that are funding. If I go tomorrow to Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola will tell me stories why they can't fund us. It's a reason, they've got reasons. And very, you know, reasons that convince you. But the same Coca-Cola is doing the opposite when it comes to them. So I'm just saying that we also, it's part of things that I think it was not talked about in race. Including schools, including health, it still goes according to race. And we're never going to reach our 2% that we want, wherever we are going, because of this thing that we call race. So there's another thing, if we look, we look at it. And then in terms of the act, at least it's still at NEDLAC level. They finished it last year, November. They're still waiting that it can be enacted to come now. An act on disability. But at least the process is there. It has been going on there with the government department. So I'm just sharing this so that we can look on. I used to sit on it before I came here. So I think I'll for now stop it.
Thanks, Honorable Follow. Honorable Mohali. Thank you, Chair. I thought that I was not going to talk today. But after what Honorable Nyakembe said, I think I'll be on TV tonight.
You thought you were on leave.
I think I'll be on TV tonight with the SABC. There's no ETV, there's nothing, it doesn't make a hype because it's disability issues. I would like to agree with him there. And I heard also Honorable Dutoit talking about the press and so on. Today we are agreeing Honorable Dutoit. We should be printed or shown wherever.
whether electronic, print, issues of disability should be there. But Chairperson, I would like to say whether we get an act or there's a policy, there's Employment Equity Act, people are not doing what the act is saying they're supposed to do. If there are no consequences, then there's nothing. We've got policies, there are no consequences, there's nothing. The 2% issue was started in 1995 and it's 2013. There are no consequences. They come and present, the Department of Public Service and Administration has produced so many booklets with regard to employing people with disabilities. The problem is consequences, of which we as members of parliament should really look into that. I remember at one time last year we had a meeting with Foresight. I think maybe we should also have a meeting with Foresight with regards to the issue of the 2%. Because the problem here really is consequences. You know that if you don't reach the 2% target, nothing's going to happen. It will be returned just there. The employment, those people who are watchdogs of the Employment Equity Act will just write down you didn't reach the 2% target, but it's nothing. You haven't done that, it's nothing. Year in, year out, you get your performance bonus, and it's no problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mohali. Honorable Mare?
Madam Chair, just two issues. I think just to follow on what the previous speaker has said, I remember a couple of years ago, and I put nothing against increasing the targets for women. Nothing. Don't understand me wrong. But I remember when there was a debate in Parliament, and it was about the increase of the targets for women. And I said, no problem. Why don't we do the same for people with disabilities? If nothing happens and we don't push the boundaries, if we're not going to push the boundaries and keep people accountable, nothing will happen. That's the reality. In that sense, we must play a role. Just to the lady I must say to her who talked about the race, I mean, I think this is totally wrong.
The Honourable Member, my apologies.
It's nothing to do with race. Disability doesn't see race. I can tell you I'm a white person, and I'm involved with organisations for disability. If it wasn't for Lotto, they would have closed the doors. Coca-Cola is one of them who was the withdrawn sponsorship. Even at Paralympic level, they are withdrawing sponsorship. Because why? They only see it in the category of social responsibility. They don't see it as a proper sponsorship. They see it as a social responsibility. That's it. And that's discriminatory, in my opinion. So I differ with you totally. It's got nothing to do with black and white. Nothing. Because the so-called white organization, I mean, you don't get white organizations anymore. It's multicultural. They suffer as heavily. Go to each one of them and you will see. If it wasn't for Lotto, they would have closed their doors long time ago.
Okay. Overdue, they did have a sponsorship in Coke. They will throw it later. Okay. Yes, proceed. The Chairperson with your team.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. It's an honour to be here. I just want to respond to a few things that our Chairperson have raised earlier, but I wanted to start with specifically the point made by Honourable Marie in response to what Honourable Polo had indicated. If one analyse, with due respect, if you analyse the Employment Equity Report, you can go back a number of years, but in particular the last one, you will indeed discern a pattern that indicates persons with disability in the white population group are better off, they are more employed than blacks. That's the reality. It probably has to do with where we are coming from, but it's something that we need to address, but I just wanted to indicate that particular point, want to find the connection there. I want to indicate, Chair, in response, and I think this is now Honourable Tutoi, we have raised the issue of the categorization of disability. And I wanted to refer Honorable Twain to the, as well as the stats, the statistics, I wanted to refer him to the latest census report. Now, they have used for the very first time a different measurement instrument in relation to disability, and indeed, the pattern that we have seen looking at that research is much closer to what the chairperson has indicated earlier, that indeed is indicative of the World Report on Disability that was released by the World Health Organization, I think just now 2 years ago, in May 2011, that indicates roughly a billion persons with disabilities, and the average per country is around between 10% and 15%, and indeed the chair has indicated we are closer to 10%. Indeed, if one looks at that stats, in terms of that stats, I'll just briefly analyze it. If you look at the categorization, and honorable the two, what they categorize here, they look at the issue of sight, they are looking at the issue of hearing, communication, mobility, which is walking, as well as remembering, concentration, and the ability to care for oneself. Those are the categories that statistical general have used. Now, indeed, if one looks at those that falls in the category of having a severe disability, amounts to 6.7% of the total population. But if you include everyone, then it is closer to 19% of our population, chairperson, meaning that they would, for example, categorize my disability, I have a physical disability, I walk with crutches, as perhaps not so severe, because I'm able to move. I do have a challenge in climbing stairs, but I would be considered not a severe disability. The same disability of honorable Tatoe, for that matter, would be considered not a severe disability, because through an assistive device is able to use literally 100% of his ability, a hearing senses, a chairperson. Again, that illustrates the importance of assistive devices. Oscar Pistorius will never have reached the height that he have reached, was it not for assistive devices. Now, we agree with the fact that, indeed, government must take a responsibility with regard to that. But again, government is saying we will be able to provide you with a wheelchair, but it will not be an electronic-driven wheelchair. It will be a normal manual wheelchair. So if you need assistance, then you need someone else to push you. But that compromises the independence, the privacy that has been referred to earlier. I also wanted to indicate chairperson, and I think the question was whether there are departments who have indeed achieved the 2% target. I can say, and I can remind Chair, of the last session we had, we have been informed that 7 out of the 47 departments have met the target or surpassed the target that was in February 2012. And I'm sitting here. I want to indicate to Honorable Eric that the Department of Labor are one of those departments that have surpassed the 2%. Women, children, and persons with disability is one of them. Indeed, Public Service and Administration is also another one. Department of Health, Department of Social Development are also one that have surpassed at that particular time. At the level of provinces, we do not get the same level. Though our interaction with the Premier of Limpopo was extremely positive, and indeed that led to a situation where we were able to find a placement for 100 graduates with disabilities in the various departments in Limpopo province. We are doing exactly the same thing in the Northwest province, and actually something is going to be throughout the country. Meaning, and what I'm trying to emphasize, put emphasis on, Chair, is that often we are told by departments those responsible for recruitment are persons of staff in general. We have been told to say that we are unable to find adequately qualified persons with disabilities to fill vacant posts. But we are saying and we are proving to them we will go to the provincial government here in the Western Cape and present them a list of 100 adequate qualified persons with disabilities and say, here are they, place them in your various departments. And through a partnership with the services sector, we are able to provide a stipend for all of them, Chairperson. But I just want to illustrate that particular point. We want, Chairperson, we want to see that the sheltered employment, it must be like it happens in Canada, in Australia, that once you enter a sheltered employment, that you are not a banned there for life. You know, we want you to be able to learn particular skills, and as you progress, you mature to the open labor market. Currently, if you start at a sheltered employment factory, you stay there for the rest of your life. And in many instances, those factories are operated on a like a private business. The individuals working there get obviously a disability grant, and on top of it, they get 150, 200 rand, Chairperson. Whereas the products that they manufacture are sold in the open market and they fetch market-related prices. For us, those indicate clearly forms of exploitation, Chairperson. That is something that we still need to engage further on the Department of Labor. In extra we would want that factories to be transferred to the Department of Higher Education. And the primary reason for that is that we can develop a clear career path and a skill development path from them to higher education and training institutions so that they indeed can acquire the necessary skills that would enable them to function independently to sell the labor on the open labor market. I also want to indicate the myth around the categorization. You know, in dealing with the CITAS, you always have this particular notion with respect honorable to Tway, that you are viewed in terms of your disability. Say you have a mobility disability. So you can only do X, Y, and Z jobs. They don't look at your preference, your skills, etc. I mean, we have had a discussion about a person who have who are blind. So historically, blind people have been placed at the switchboard. I would say even in this very institution, we have a blind person working at the switchboard. Chairperson now for many, many years. Now, for us, that is problematic. Because you cannot do what the chair said, the serious typing, Chairperson, of a very serious nature. You're not looking at the potential of that person and develop that particular potential. Look at the preference of that particular person and place them, that person where that person would desire to be placed. Because the UNCRPD speaks about the rights enshrined in the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities are not new rights. They are existing rights. They are contained in all the international human rights instruments that date back to 1945, 10%. But the only difference with that is that that instrument makes it there's a provision that speaks to the fact that you must look at what are the impediments, the barriers that prevent you exercising your rights. And we can say, for example, in our broad discussion here, that the issues of access and accessibility is a major impediment, you see. So it says you must create opportunities to enjoy all your rights, Chairperson. So that is what we must do. When we look at employment of any person, look at the issue of accessibility. And as a country, we have developed a tool which is called reasonable technical assistance guidelines for the employment of persons with disability. The employment and retention of persons with disability. The reasonable employment, reasonable accommodation is an integral part of the Employment Equity Act. With regard to, you've made a very important point earlier, Chair. When we spoke, about the need for parliamentarians to be assisted in acquiring the ability to sign, that is very important. But it reminds me, Chair, of a debate that we had in the previous term in this institution, where we said it is important that we must have a disability officer, because honourable members with disabilities experience day-to-day challenges. I'm quite sure honourable Mfulo will say, and feel very clearly, she would say, that in terms of the tickets that she gets, she runs out of it. She would run out of it because her assistant, she must also provide from the allocation that she gets, she must also provide for her assistant who travels with her. You see, that assistant is her personal assistant. It's like the assistant device that you cannot function without a chairperson. And to a large extent, we, as a disability sector, and I can say in the previous term, we have not won that debate as yet. It has to be won. We have to must engage the Secretary of Parliament and as well the office of the speaker to make that a reality. But I would want to say that perhaps this is a matter that should be and could be pursued by this portfolio committee in collaboration with the one on women, children and persons with disability. I also want to indicate in the private sector, the thing that is very encouraging is we have an organization that is called South African Employees for a Disability. It is an organization comprising of corporate South Africa who have a big premium on membership. They say any corporate company wants to be part of it must pay a membership fee of 40,000. But more importantly, they will vet that company. They will do a disability audit on that company. And they will not allow membership to that company if the company does not comply with accessibility prescripts, which is very, very encouraging, because it does indicate to us that corporate South Africa is beginning to have a paradigm shift, a chairperson, and it can only, present good things in the future. We want to support those kinds of things. Chair, just finally, the Chair has indicated, our chairperson has indicated we met with President Zuma last year, the 26th of April, in which we raised a number of issues. We, in essence, asked the President, who was accompanied by the Minister for Women, Children and Persons with Disability, as well as the Minister for Social Development. We were saying to the President, in order for us to make progress in employment of persons with disability, there have to be a key performance indicator built in the performance agreements with both in them, with ministers that he has, with ministers, as well with the Director General, between the Director General and the ministers. And indications are, Chair, that particular aspect is now being given the necessary weight and consideration, that very, very soon Director General will come here and report to the committee, and their performance bonuses will hinge on the fact that they are able to deal not only in terms of employment, but policies, implementing policies that speaks to the issues of disability in their respective departments, and for that we are grateful, and we would want specifically that this portfolio committee in its oversight pays increased attention to those particular aspects, Chairperson. And perhaps finally, I want to emphasize here, we as Disabled People South Africa, we are a human rights organization. We consider ourselves, we not only deal with specific disabilities, but we have multiple disabilities within our organization. We are a cross disability organization where the National Council for Persons with Physical Disabilities only deals with those physical disabilities chairperson. So we just want to make that particular emphasis. Yes, indeed, we work with the NCPPD from time to time. We work with DEFSA chairperson. We work with the South African Council for the Blind. There's no antagonism between them, but they are specific organizations that deal with specific types of disability, whereas we deal with all disabilities, say person. So I just wanted to emphasize that particular point, and I would want to thank all the honorable members for allowing yourself, chairperson, inviting us back a year, and certainly would love to partner with yourself in achieving these objectives, because a better life for all of us must include persons with disability, chairperson. Thank you very much.
No, thanks so much. I'm actually looking at the time and just thinking that we still have another day where we'll be having the department responding, and therefore possibly just to allow the members that also have other commitments, I will just request that we just attend at this level and request that DPSA should also attend for next week, so that we can be able to engage with the department. We are expecting to get feedback and possibly to plan